In the back row, we got the back row Baptists holding down the fort. Amen. I understand they're the greatest giver, so just your port's coming up. Anyway, hopefully everybody had a great week. Last week we had an opportunity to study a kind of a different subject matter. What was last week's subject that we had? Soiled doves, oldest profession, the list is, we give them tons of names, okay? Who were some of them that we mentioned last week? The Bible has lots of them, by the way. Okay. Rahab. How about in the book of Revelation? The worst of the worst, the mother of harlots, right? New Testament. The woman caught in adultery. And at least one of the women that put anointed Jesus' feet, because they said, if you knew what kind of woman this was, you wouldn't allow this woman to touch you. It's really great. Have you ever noticed that how in the world, if these group of men were so righteous and so special and so set apart, did such a lady just walk into the house? I'm just wondering. I always wondered that question. Have you ever noticed how righteous sometimes we feel? When somebody does something we think is just totally off the rails, we stick our noses up in the air and, oh, Lord, we almost like the Pharisee and the Sadducee, right? Okay, I mean the Pharisee and the publican. Lord, I praise God that I'm not like this bum that's praying next to me. That's right. You try to catch yourself, but it's in the human nature. It starts crawling out. I'd like us kind of to get a part of that message. We're going to start today with a verse, and then we'll open in prayer. Go to Psalms chapter 86. It's a prayer of David. Would you consider David a man that understood the depths of forgiveness? The depths of forgiveness. Absolutely. Okay? Psalms 86. And honestly, we'll start with verse 1. Psalms 86, verse 1. Bow down thine ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. The real condemnation of the Pharisees, that's something that was totally foreign from them to even understand. I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me. Now, wait a minute. I am holy, and be merciful unto me. Even in the Old Testament, you have the clear difference between position, okay, and preservation, like of the believer, but then how we live has its bumps in the road. David knew he was God's, but he still needed the Lord. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee, how often? Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, I do lift up my soul. Now, this is a principle. A lot of people see the Old Testament as horribly hard and difficult, and it's the law. That the God of grace somewhat veiled in the Old Testament. I dare to differ. Let's read on. For thou, O Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy. What does that word plenteous mean? A whole bunch are willing to give mercy. Unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer, and attend to my voice of my supplication. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt, what? Answer me. The truth of the matter is that no matter how sinful a man is, no matter how soiled a woman is, forgiveness is simply an ask away. We sing a song, "Just As I Am." The truth of the matter is, all of us that were saved that day came with nothing. Absolutely nothing. And the truth is, when we go out, that's exactly what we have too. But now that we're believers, we have everything. Not just now, but when we go out, we actually get our inheritance. You know, how many of us have been at a will reading? A will reading, where they read the will. Okay? Sometimes it's a good thing. Sometimes you find out, they didn't love me at all. It might have been that you were too busy and hungry for money. But the point is that no matter where you find yourself, forgiveness is simply an ask away. Let's open in a word of prayer, and we'll start into Hosea chapter 1. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Lord, you've given us a day to love you, to just rejoice in your giving, in your greatness. Lord, we ask for our country. We ask for our leadership. We ask for our church. We ask, God, for souls due to VBS. Lord, bless the folks that have put so much effort into it. Lord, we just ask your hand would be upon today's services, and you alone would receive the glory and honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Here it is. You guys are going to get used to this. Remember what the rule is. Remember what the rule is. You can say one, but you can't say more than one, so we have to work through. And we're going to start on this side. H. Well, thank you, sweetie. You know, it's really bad when she sits in my class sometimes and she doesn't sit in my class. There's times she actually looks at me when I want to talk about the lesson. Don't tell me. I'm going to be in class. Oh, thank you. It's just bad. Okay. J. Thank you, sister. All right. A. Amos. O. Obadiah. There are more than one Obadiah in 1 and 2 Kings. And the Obadiah that's the servant of Ahab and the Obadiah the prophet are not the same, but they're both of the same name. J. Jonah. Okay. M. Who? Micah. N. Nahum. H. Habakkuk. Z. Zephaniah. H. Haggai. Z. And the final one, Malachi. Okay? All right. Now, we talked about Hosea last week. The first three chapters are clearly about his relationship with his unfaithful wife. I'm going to try to maybe, if the Lord leads me so, my thoughts are to shorten some of this up because it truly, it's sad. It's like the Book of Lamentations, okay? He's literally crying over what's going to happen just very soon. He may have died when Israel fell. We don't know exactly. There's some slip there. But we'll be talking about that. All right? So, let's get to Hosea chapter 1. The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, the king of Israel. Now, this gives you a specific time frame. This isn't as much guesswork. Whenever you see lists of names, that's why I gave you those handouts, all right? Is it so you can begin to understand any time you're in the Old Testament and you see a list of names, how that fits in, okay? The beginning of the word of the Lord of Hosea, by Hosea, and the Lord said unto Hosea, go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare a son. All right. Hosea means God delivers. And Gomer, now go name one of your daughters Gomer. What? We always think of Gomer, yep, or whatever his. Well, what, I don't know what his phrases were, but he used a lot of them. It means completion. Now, literally, he would have bought her. Okay? All right? Probably purchased her. All right? And Diblaim, you know what it means? Two cakes. Two cakes. Yeah, you could read the sign, okay? But it's not cakes as in like cakes like birthday cake. It's two cakes of figs. Now, how many of you guys like dried figs? Come on, raise your hands. Dried. Oh, I love her. She's the only one who raises. Oh, we got a few more of the odd and bizarre. I love dried figs. Okay? They kind of ooshy in your mouth, and they're sweet. And, well, you guys eat Fig Newtons. Come on. All they do is kind of put that stuff in a blender and squeeze it in through some pastry. You love figs? Okay, sister, then you're in a crowd of the cultured palate there, the crowd of the cultured palate. All right? But figs start out like this. Then you leave them lay out in the sun. Figs are grown in India, all through the Middle East, and they just lay them out in the sun. I mean, and they just lay them out there, okay, on these big mats. And they turn into ugly, nasty-looking things like that. And then they pack them into cakes, bricks. If you want to, you can go online and order them. Anybody? I'll share. Okay? Two cakes. Now, what? That's modern cellophane, brother. They wrapped it in something. For you, I'm sure we could find an old muskox hide or something, and we could wrap it in there for you. Now, during this period of time, was the nation of the Hebrews unified or broken apart? Unified or broken apart? Under David, it was unified. Under Solomon, it was unified. And what happened when Solomon died? Okay, Jeroboam and Rehoboam fractured it. Rehoboam was Solomon's son, and he wanted to raise taxes, like spectacularly so. He threatened, my father's finger, okay, if his life and taxes was like my finger, my taxes will be like my thigh. It was some body comparison that I'm going to tax you until the Stone Age, okay? So 10 tribes busted away under Jeroboam. And the capital of Judea, Jerusalem, was the capital of Judea. And what was the the capital originally, we'll see a little later, started out in Tirzah, the city of Tirzah. Now, the fracturing happened in 931. Israel failed in 722, but Hosea spoke around 755. All right? Now, so here you have Jeroboam and Rehoboam. Did things go so well for those guys? The truth of the matter is, all the ancient monuments we have that the enemies of Israel left behind and such refer to the nation of Israel as the house of Omri. So the first real major king, powerful ruling king that others outside recognized and were willing to engrave on stone really was Omri. Now, you can't understand the book of Hosea until I give you a little background, actually a lot of background. How many of you have recently gone through 2 Kings and 1 Kings? Oh, you did? Okay, well, make sure you calibrate me here. Now, did you correlate that with all their each piece out of Chronicles? Aha. You got to do both to do a good job, but I'm only going to be in Kings, okay? Let's take a little walk through the book of Kings. Let's turn back to Kings chapter 16. Well, first, of course. 1 Kings chapter 16. And this interface here, right here, is where this chronologically is important. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 8. In the 20th and 6th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Elah, the son of Baasha, to reign over Israel. Where? In Tirzah, 2 years. And his servant Zimri, captain of half of his chariots, conspired against him as he was in Tirzah, drinking himself drunk in the house of Arza, steward of his house in Tirzah. How many kings have been partying just at the moment everything fell apart? I don't know, the finger writing on the wall business. Okay. It happens, all right? So, we're already, Elah is currently ruling, and Zimri is going to conspire against him, all right? And Zimri went in and smote him and killed him in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his stead. And it came to pass when he began to reign, as soon as he had sat upon his throne, that he slew all the house of Baasha, and left him not one, and I'm sorry, but this is the language the King James translators have mentioned, that pisseth against the wall. If he probably didn't kill the micro babies, but if a child could stand, it was over. Okay? A wall, neither of his kinsfolk nor his what? He killed everybody. Thus did Zimri destroy all the house of Baasha, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake against Baasha by Jehu the prophet. The Jehu you mention here is not the Jehu we'll see a little later on. Jehu was a prophet, though he's not recorded in the minor prophets, but his death and demise because of his sin was predicted. For all the sins of Baasha, that the sins of Elah his son, which they sinned, by which they made Israel to sin in provoking the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities. Let's go down to verse 15. In the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, did Zimri reign 7 days. That's all. That's all the longer his reign was. 7 days in Tirzah, and the people were encamped against Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines. The truth was, is the Philistines were continually a thorn in the side of both Judah and Israel. So he had his troops and his army, Omri was the general, attacking this Philistine city when the king gets murdered. Okay? And the people that were encamped heard say, Zimri has conspired and hath also slain the king. Wherefore all Israel made Omri the captain of the host, king over Israel that day in the camp, and Omri went up from Gibbethon, and all Israel with him, and they besieged Tirzah. And it came to pass, when Zimri saw that the city was taken, that he went into the palace of the king's house and burnt the king's house over him with fire and died. Have you ever noticed that there are some households, some families, some peoples that literally continue to make bad decisions? Okay? Why do we care so much about ensuring our children learn how to make good decisions? Because every bad decision they make has an impact, truly, if you still survive, on you. All right? In ancient times, if your children were a bunch of twits, what was the security of your future? You didn't have any. There was a direct connection because of the importance of raising children, my old age, and me surviving. Plus the joy of just having a child that is honorable and good. Some of the older guys here, have you ever heard your children when they said something you were proud to have that fall out of their face? Whether it was care for a hurt child, another friend of theirs, or whether it was a young man standing up for truth. Those are important. Jeroboam started a bad game, And what happens when you have bad people doing bad things, God eventually brings them to justice. And the truth was, Omri was no better. A bad man doing a good thing, because God actually endorsed him to do it. He had predicted him to do it. And Omri literally turns the nation of Israel into an empire. He starts conquering towns and expanding its borders. He literally buys, as we see here later on in this chapter, where you go to verse 23 in this chapter, and the 30 and first year of Asa, king of Judah, began Omri to reign over Israel. 12 years, 6 years reigned he in Tirzah, and he bought the hill of Samaria of Shemir for 2 talents of silver and built on the hill and called the name of the city which he built after the name of Shemir, owner of the hill, and they called it Samaria. Okay? Here's Omri. Now, every bit of artwork I could ever find about Omri kind of portrays him as a weasel. Because he was. I mean, artists have a way to look into a reading and say, I can draw a weasel. Okay. This, by the way, is from the 1700s, and he looks like a weasel. And here's a nice piece of artwork of the weasel, all nice in color. So Omri. All right. Verse 25. But Omri wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord and did worse than all that were before him. The people that, granted, when he killed Zimri, who had killed all the Jeroboamim in his family, and started the Omri dynasty, he was a bad guy. You know who he was the father of? Who does everyone say was the baddest of the kings of Israel? Ahab. He was his dad. Okay? He was his dad. But Omri wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord. For he walked in all the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and in his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin, to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities. Now the rest of the acts of Omri, which he did, his might, which he showed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? Anytime you read the book of 1 Kings, sister, you can listen to this, it even tells you to go where? To the book of Chronicles, okay? So I'm violating the rules just like you did, so, hey, okay, all right? So Omri slept with his fathers and wasn't buried in Tirzah like the other kings, but was buried in Samaria, and Ahab his son reigned in his stead. And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab the son of Omri to reign over Israel. And Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years, and Ahab the son of Omri did what? Evil, and in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. My dad was a bad guy. I'm even worse. Now, okay. So, here we were in Tirzah. Tirzah has some problems. It's exposed. It's not on a major thoroughfare. It's open to the east for anybody to invade. So after the palace burned and Omri didn't want to live there. He bought the land in Samaria and built his fortified city there. It's on 3 key roads, and that's the junction of it. He literally could get his troops anywhere in Samaria in the matter of a short period of time. Also, because of pressure from Damascus and ultimately the rise of the Assyrians, they built a city called Jezreel in the valley of Jezreel here. In effect, how many have ever looked at a map of Saudi Arabia? Way out in the desert is a city named after the king, King Khalid Military City. It is nothing more than a massive fortress to prevent if Iran ever comes in an invasion, that's where they're stationed at. In effect, Jezreel is just like that. It's the fortress city, all right? And Ahab likes hanging around there. Okay? So, here we are. Omri's died. He actually defeated the other half of that invasion. And Ahab is ruling. let's get back. Just keep your hands right here in chapter 16, but I'd like you to flip back to Hosea. It's Hosea chapter 3. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, call his name what? Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of who? Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it will come to pass in that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. How did you name your kids? Maybe a family name? Oh, I got to name it after Aunt May or her grandpa or a Bible verse, a Bible character. Why? Why do we do that? Oh, by the way, Caleb is the correct spelling for his name, you two. If you look in the Hebrew, Caleb is spelled with a K, not a C. You did good. Just for information's sake. I told Caleb that, and he went, whoo! But why do we name our kids? All sorts of good reasons. Except Gomer, maybe. I went, okay. All right. But the fact is, we name them for a good reason. Hosea did not have such an opportunity. Every day he looked at his son, Jezreel! You didn't do your chores! You know he had to say it at least once or 1,000 times. God had already told him why he was named such. How would that break your heart every day? I'm sorry. I like saying Sarah and Ruth and Joanna and Caleb and Ethan. Okay? I like hearing Hallie, which was my grandmother's name, one of my granddaughters. Okay? I like hearing those words. Oh, you're going to name your son because I'm going to destroy this whole nation and it's going to be that place. Don't just read past it. Understand what God is asking the prophet. The prophet's had a very rough road to hoe. Okay, so here's Hosea. He's way down here at the end, but we're up here, and he says, what must be paid? We're back here. I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu. What in the world is the blood of Jezreel? Blood of Jezreel. God has got vengeance. Justice will happen. So let's go back to chapter 16 and tee this up for you. When you find something, well, I don't understand what that means, but we'll just continue on reading. How many times have I tried to show you a word? I never heard that before. I never read it that way before. Step back from the Word of God when you read it to try to understand all of it, the context that it sits in, and truthfully, the power of the people and how it would have affected the folks that are there. That's the message. That's the power. Let's get back to chapter 16 of 1 Kings. Verse 30. And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sin of Jeroboam. That turn of phrase, if he'd done just what Jeroboam was, that would have been easy. He went so bad. Let's just read on, okay? Light thing to do the sins of Jeroboam and the son of Nebat, that he took a wife, Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians. That Ethbaal is actually a form of the god Baal. And the Zidonians were Phoenicians, Phoenician traders. The city of Sidon, okay, Tyre and Sidon, okay, those cities stood until Alexander the Great took them, okay? And so he took a daughter of a pagan. Now, she was a very nice woman. Let's read on. And he took the wife Jezebel. Describe for what you know about Jezebel. Bad? Like how bad? Remember what the Romans called prostitutes? She-wolves. Okay? She-wolves. Jezebel was a she-wolf. Okay? Answer. Culture.
Set up by man.
Well, it sometimes happens that way, yeah.
But in God's eyes,
guilt is guilt. Remember in the book of Proverbs? We talked about the book of Proverbs. Solomon was telling his son, when you go into her house, you destroy your soul. God holds men just as accountable. All right. Now, that's justice, okay? God is pure justice. All right? His love, he's pure love and pure justice. And he loves grace. Because he's paid the price, he can forgive. He can forgive. So here you have Jezebel, okay? And went and served who? Baal, and worshiped him. Now, every time, here's Elijah talking to King Ahab and Jezebel, all right? And I kind of thought this was an interesting picture of Jezebel. She probably was very beautiful on the outside, and on the inside, black as coal. Oh, in 2008, an interesting thing happened. You know, people always are willing to say, you know, brother, that whole Bible is nothing but, you know, just fanciful stories. It isn't true. It isn't true. You know, they found signet rings, for over 1,000 people from ancient times, many of them mentioned in the Bible. Out of those over 1,000, only 30 of them belonged to women. And only one woman in all of the Bible, her signet ring has been found. And it literally sat in the Israeli National Museum since 1960 when it was donated by a very wealthy man. In fact, all the jewels from what appeared to be Jezebel's jewelry box were all combined together. There they all sit, including her signet ring. Jezebel's signet ring. She lived and breathed. Okay? Anyway. So they worship Baal. Now, how bad is Baal? Bad? Well, I don't know. He had many various versions. The Phoenicians were notorious for sacrificing children to Baal. I was actually in Byblos, which is north of Beirut. And in Byblos, it's a place about 10 times the property that we have here. And in that span, you can see archaeological digs going all the way from the Crusades all the way back to the times of the Phoenicians. And sadly, I don't know how many of you have ever... To give you kind of an equivalent, a modern-day equivalent. Please forgive me, but I want you to really feel this. I want you to go to an abortion clinic and stand in the room where they do that all the time. How would that affect you? I stood next to a block of stone where they would sacrifice child after child after child and throw them in this pit in offering to Baal. We know that because they did the excavations of the pit. Okay? This is the kind of person Ahab married. This is the kind of God. By the way, how many of you have ever heard the phrase Baalzebub? That's just a form of Baal, and he was the Lord of flies. Why was that so important? the Lord of Flies. That was a compliment. They would pray the Lord of Flies. They were smart enough to know that if you have lots of flies around, there's lots of people get sick. So they pray the Lord of Flies to keep the flies away. But they're symbols of Baal as a fly. And of course, she had worshipped, like all the Phoenicians, and she wanted her worship to now be the worship of the nation she was queen of. So how would you go about doing that? You want to change a country. How did Hitler do it? All your political people, you take them, grab them, throw them in a concentration camp, or worse than that? Brother? Oh, lodge is the first thing. Then they start grabbing people, okay? Because you can't vote. If you're alive, you can't vote. But even Hitler had people of his own group that he had to eliminate in a thing called the Night of the Long Knives, okay? The SA. He had to literally kill all them off so he could rise to power. Jezebel has a plan. What do you think she does to all the prophets of Israel? She slaughters them all except 100, which Obadiah, who was the steward of Ahab's house, he was a godly man. You can read the text. And he saves 100. He hid them in caves, 50 by 50, and he fed them because he had the resources to be able to do that because he knew that was the godly thing to do. Ahab did not stop it at all. So she murders all the priests of God. To give you an idea, how did the priests of Baal care about their worship? Remember what they did on Mount Carmel? Remember what they did with Elijah there? They jumped up and down, they cut themselves and bled all over the sacrifice. These people were crazies. All right? Now, there was a mention of Jehu, and we'll get to him a little later. But I have to take you to the British National Museum to show you a picture of Jehu. Jehu, Jehovah is he. Jehu was literally called by Elijah to destroy the house of Omri, Ahab and Ahab's son. God called him. Elijah anointed him to destroy them. They were that bad. That man bowing there in front of the Assyrians, and that writing, that cuneiform writing, that writing is called Akkadian, if you've ever heard that phrase. But this stone, this monolith, is in the British Museum in room 8. We'll go back to the British Museum because there's all sorts of cool things. If we knew everything that was in the museums, how long did Jezebel's jewelry box sit in the Israeli Museum? 1960 to 2008, and no one knew diddly. There's so much in the museums, if we could piece it all together, there's probably more story. Anyway, let's read on. You can go to chapter 18 where Obadiah protects the prophets. In chapter 18, verse 3. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of the house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them. And then we go a little bit further. And you get to chapter 19, verse 15. And this is the Lord talking to Elijah. And the Lord said unto him, go and return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu the son of Nishmi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel Methola shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slew. And whom that escapeth from the sword Jehu shall Elisha slay. And then you get to verse 18, which is so cool. And I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. Sometimes as Christians, you feel like we're in a real minority. that America really isn't a Christian nation anymore? I'm sorry, God knows his people. He knows the situation we're in. There's plenty of us, okay? But eventually, chapter 21, so you have the blood of the prophets in Jezreel that Jezebel slew. But how many have ever heard of Naboth? Where's Naboth here? Where's Naboth? Huh. I didn't put Naboth's slide in. Any of you know who Naboth was? Go to chapter 21. Naboth. Yeah, he had a vineyard. Where? Where? In Jezreel, right outside the city, where the king could look down. And it was a cool vineyard. It had been in the family for years. And so, okay, all right. So here's Samaria and Tirzah. Here's the valley of Jezreel. There's the city of Jezreel. And it's between Mount Gilboa and Mount Tabor and Mount Morah. This whole area is great for growing stuff. All right. That's Mount Gilboa. Yes, and that's Mount Tabor on the other side. And this is how it looks today. Kind of a very cool place. All right. And then you have the city of Jezreel here. And located just to the north and west of the city, this is what the city looks like. It's kind of on a hill. And they actually took ground penetrating radar. Any of you ever hear about that before? Where they actually can look at, with radar on the ground, it goes down a distance and echoes back. And they could actually see where it used to be furrowed, okay? And they found a winery down the slope from where the palace was. And whose winery do you think that was? Naboth's. There it is. Now, oh, man, there's a couple ones I didn't include. But the fact is that Ahab wasn't really a bad man. He just didn't kill you and take it. He offered to buy it from Naboth, and Naboth, because he loved his family inheritance, would not sell it. So he all moped around in the palace. And Jezebel saw it. I'll fix this problem. So she wrote a whole bunch of letters and didn't use her signet ring. He used Ahab's to all the elders of the area to declare a fast. And they actually paid guys to witness against Naboth for blasphemy. So they stoned him to death right in his own vineyard. And so Jezebel comes to Ahab. Look, he's dead now. You can keep it. At that point, Jezebel would join Naboth in my dimension. But that isn't the case. And eventually, Jehu, Ahab dies in battle, and he dies in the chariot, and then where they clean the chariot out is in that same place where Naboth was at, and the prophecy was that the dogs will eat both, drink the blood of both Ahab and Jezebel, so they were licking up the blood as they were cleaning out of the chariot, the Bible tells us. And what happened to Jezebel? Jehu chucked her out the window on the street. We talked a little bit about Old Testament death, right? You go to Old Testament writings, it was just as honorable and just as good to take a stranger and bury them than it was to give food to a hungry person, to heal a wound, to leave someone lay in the street and be eaten by dogs was not a good thing. So, let's get back to chapter 1. Verse 4, and the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, and yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of what? So, You now know who Jehu was. You know the blood of Jezreel that they're talking about, the blood of the prophets and the blood of who? Naboth. Innocent blood shed, and they will pay. They will pay. By the way, when Elijah informed Ahab that all this was come to pass in his lifetime, all right, he went in sackcloth and ashes and repented. And so Elijah came back and told him, no, it will happen in your son's time. So even Ahab repented a little. A little. Did you learn a couple things this morning? Okay. Any questions? We have exactly 3 minutes. Any questions? Any? If not, then we'll close this in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the examples you give us in the Scriptures. Evil is nothing new. Jealousy and power, money, dishonesty, thievery, they're as common as human beings themselves. Lord, we just ask, God, that we would, by thy grace, walk before you in a righteousness that only your grace and power, your Spirit can give. Lord, may we honor you and just lift you up in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.